truth. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With communists trying to get into our heads, take over the media with Marx, they force feed ya. Come on, all you whites, fight the red that is red. Come on, all you whites, fight the threat that is red. Encourage such mixing to us, it is sick. They say for the third world we must provide bread. Just for one occasion, let's think of our own nations. Come on, all you whites, fight the threat that is red. Come on, all you whites, fight the threat that is red.
Here we go, last hour of the program, radio, RBN, support the network, folks. So we went through Trump's message about sanctuary cities, okay? Can clip 9 cue that one up? Now, I felt something strange. I was sitting there with my dad last night, and my dad's like... He's watching Trump. He's like, that guy's an asshole. I was like, I know he is, Dad. Don't get me twisted. I know Trump is. He's that way. But at this point in the world's history, our country's history, what we've been through. And I said this way back. I was like, the guy's a New York shark. And, you know, he's hanging out with Roy Cohn, and we know this, Studio 54, and all this crap about Trump that, you know, I went through this ad nauseum. Roy Trump, this gay Jewish guy that really hated Jewish communists. He was hanging out with Senator McCarthy, and so there's some weird, you know, underbelly here with Trump. Trump's always been around a lot of Jews, got a lot of Jews in his organization. But at the same time, I think Trump is one of these virulently anti-communists. And so, look, there's problems with capitalism, with laissez-faire capitalism as well. And I know this. Capitalism unfettered breeds the J.P. Morgans and the Rockefellers and so forth. I get that. Okay, I don't like seeing our media combined and consolidated into these like six corporations, and I don't like this any more than you do. But free enterprise and entrepreneurship, this sort of thing is where it's at. This is where innovation comes from, and so forth and so on. Now we have to really keep a check on this technological onslaught of trying to lead us down the Matrix Terminator vision, and I get this. But here's an angle which kind of freaked me out last night about Trump, where he's talking about the EU and them not letting, you know, the tariff wars that we're going to start having now. You know, steel and aluminum are one thing, but let's talk about farm products. Ken, roll clip 9.
Dealing with people that want to obstruct. They want to stop us from doing things. We put an infrastructure bill in for $1.7 billion, and I hear they want to stop it. They want to stop DACA. DACA is their issue. But I'm willing to go along. Get it done. We got to get it done, right? Get it done. And besides that, you know, honestly, we need good, great workers in our country, because I'm bringing a lot of companies into this country. We're not going to have workers for it. We have to
all right,
bring
pause
them.
It. Pause
but
it
DACA, they're here.
All right. So we paused it there. Okay. So see, Trump is trying to make the point that, okay, I'm going to bring so many jobs and so many companies back that we're going to need these people. You know, I don't like that. And look, we've got a bunch of people that are unemployable. They're strung out on drugs. They sit around and get stoned all day. And I'm not against marijuana necessarily, but if you sit around and smoke weed, you know, 15 hours a day, you're not employable. We got a bunch of people strung out on psych meds, opioids, and everything else. We got a bunch of unemployable people, and I know this. But at the same time, I don't want to bring a bunch of companies in here, and then all you want to do is bring in a bunch more of immigrants, unless they're the whites from South Africa. I'm cool with that. But they don't want to leave their country. They plotted that land out 400 years ago. Jones had one of the Swedlanders guys on. He's like, I'm not leaving this land. My ancestors conquered it, and they tilled this land. They built it from nothing. They bought this land from people. And then, you know, Hooley, he sent me stuff where the Zulu king and all these people they're trying to go off on the ANC. So there's a war here in South Africa between visions. Basically, the Zulu king, I think his first name's Goodwill something something, but he thinks it's criminal to try to take the land from these South African farmers. There's Zimbabweans that are begging white farmers to come back to Zimbabwe. And so there's a whole lot going on here, but unfortunately there's a bunch of people caught in the middle, and it's insane. But this terrorist ANC, okay, these thugs, they must be dealt with, okay? And I personally think there's been so many people poisoned against the white people in Zimbabwe and South Africa that it's just going to have to be a fight. And personally, it's just like, what's our military doing? Unfortunately, the Knights of Malta, Robert Mugabe's a Knight of Malta, and the communist Jesuit forces who hate the Protestants. See, these guys are Protestants down there in South Africa. We have to keep that in mind. And then, of course, the Jewish Oppenheimers and all the basically the Zio thugs that have always supported the ANC, Joe Shlomo standing there with his communist fist with Winnie and Nelson Mandela before the big hammer and sickle, all those Jewish communists. They got to be dealt with in South Africa. And I don't think basically that the, you know, Drudge has even posted, folks, about white genocide in South Africa in the last week. Valima's comments. And so things are moving finally. You know, a lot of us have always been covering this white genocide angle in South Africa. And there were all these kind of goofball anti-apartheid buffoons from the 80s. I remember this stuff when I was a kid, apartheid, blah, 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 the demonization. It's just like, look, apartheid was the only thing that kept South Africa basically as a viable nation state. Now it's going through the full-blown collapse. Unfortunately, a large swath of these people immigrated from other parts of Southern Africa into South Africa, and they've always had to deal with this large swath of immigrants. And the only way to deal with it was probably apartheid. And you can love it or hate it, whatever you want, but you know, South Africa turned from a first world nation into a third world nation. And it's on its way to where basically now there's forces that want to murder every last white person in the land. And so hindsight's 20/20, et cetera, et cetera. But go ahead and continue, Ken.
They're good people, and the Democrats are trying to not do so. I offered a deal that was so good you can't refuse, right? Like the mob pictures. I give you a deal that's so good you can't refuse. I made a deal. I gave them a deal so good they could not refuse. And I did it because I thought they were going to refuse. And they did. And they're getting killed now by the DACA recipients. They're getting killed. But somebody like Lamb, he's never going to vote for us. He's now saying, and I appreciate his nice words about me. This is Trump country, right? So he has to say nice. Okay? He's smart. So he's saying nice things. Here's the problem. As soon as he gets in, he's not going to vote for us. He's going to vote the party line. He has to. And if he doesn't, he's never going to a chairman of a committee. He's, you know, it's a whole crazy system. But he's going to vote the party line. He doesn't care about us. But for getting your votes, he's talking about how much he likes tariffs, which is my baby. And I took a lot of heat over that. But let me tell you, all these countries now are calling up. We don't want the tariffs. What do we have to do? European Union. They kill us. Sounds good. A lot of us came from the European Union, different countries, right? Sounds nice. They kill us on trade. So we put on tariffs, and the European Union's out there. Well, we're going to put on. I said, you can't go any higher than you are anyway. And they have trade barriers. We can't even sell our farming goods in there. They totally restrict us. So then they say, we want those tariffs taken off. I said, good. Open up the barriers and get rid of your tariffs. And if you don't do that, we're going to tax Mercedes-Benz. We're going to tax BMW. You want to have money? You want to have money come into our country? And you know, the cars are really the big item. That's the big money item. So when I said that, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, let's stop talking with this guy. You know, with the European Union, we're like $100 billion down because we had stupid politicians doing stupid things, right? Think of $100 billion. By the way, we're really, I've always said $71 billion, but Mexico, we're $130 billion. That's a real number because nobody includes the VAT tax. Nobody even knows what a VAT tax is, but Mexico charges a 16% VAT tax. So nobody ever talks about it. You know, they do it. That deal was bad the day they made it because they had a tax and we didn't. So they have a 16% VAT tax. Nobody ever talks about it. But I talk about it. So we're either going to renegotiate NAFTA. And I said, we won't put the tariffs on Mexico and Canada. And Canada's brutal. Canada's really tough. They, you know, we have a big deficit with Canada, too. They send in timber. They send in steel. They send in a lot of things. But our farmers in Wisconsin are not treated well when we want to send things to them. Hey, and I don't blame them. Why should I blame them? Because they've just outsmarted our politicians for decades. And I don't mean Obama. I mean all of them. Since Bush the first. And that includes, I mean, that includes a lot of territory. Frankly, Ronald Reagan. You remember, I didn't love his, I thought he was great. I loved his style, his attitude. He was a great cheerleader for our, you know, for the country. But not great on the trade. For many, many years, they've been outsmarted. You know, we used to be a nation of tariffs. When other countries would come to the United States, they had to pay for the privilege of taking our product, of taking our jobs. They had to pay. They wanted to come in and sell their product. They had to pay. Today, in China, they sell a car to us. They pay 2.5%. We sell a car in China, which, by the way, is almost impossible to do despite the tax. It's 25%. So why is that 25 and we're 2.5? And that's why we have a trade deficit with China of $500 billion a year. It's no good. But we're changing it. And it takes a little while. I'm there a year, a little more than a year.
Go ahead, stop it.
We're changing it.
So China with cars, I don't know of any cars that China sells to us. Trump goes off on his rants. But here's the point I wanted to make. Trump talks about our farmers and our farm products. Well, guess what? Everything that we try to push on the EU, Canada, everything else is genetically modified. So this is one of the big reasons why other blocks don't want our stuff. Because it's all Monsanto, Cargill, DuPont, garbage. And so, you know, this is one of the points where, you know, Monsanto's world headquarters is right here in St. Louis. So I don't like that aspect. Don't try to push the poison of genetically modified foods onto the rest of the planet as a leveraging tool with tariffs. I really found that one, let's just say, not very palatable. Ken, get clip six ready. Now, this is James Alsup, and this is about Trump tariffs and China, the race to the bottom, and so forth. We can't compete with China as far as cheap products. Okay, Walmart, we've all been dealing with this for, a long, long time. But let's roll six.
So, first of all, what is a tariff? A tariff is similar to a tax. It's charged, usually as a percentage, on specific classes of imports into a country. For example, if there were to be a 25% tax on shoes being imported from China, and I imported $1,000 worth of shoes, then I, as the importer, would also have to pay $250 to the U.S. government. Let's say there's an American shoe company we'll call USA Shoes, and there's a Chinese company called China Shoes. USA Shoes are made in America by American workers that are paid a fair wage and contribute to the American economy. China Shoes are made in China by sweatshop workers, and their wages are reinvested into the Chinese economy. Because China Shoes uses sweatshop labor and doesn't pay their employees fairly, they can produce shoes for less than USA Shoes. As a result, if they flood the market with China Shoes, they can undercut USA Shoes to the point where USA Shoes will go out of business, taking those thousands of American jobs with them. If the American government puts a 25% tariff on the importation of Chinese shoes, it raises their price to be comparable with those of American shoes, thus financially disincentivizing the purchase of Chinese shoes and creating a situation where more consumers are more likely to buy USA shoes. That same scenario is effectively what's going on right now with Chinese steel, Chinese electronics, and just about every other manufactured good. They're made for cheaper in China than Americans can make them for here in America, and as a result, when they're dumped onto the American market, they sell for less and put American manufacturers out of business, taking American jobs with them. Now, that's the overview on why a tariff is implemented and what it is. Let's look specifically at the history now of American tariff policy. Up until the early 20th century, tariffs made up the greatest source of federal revenue. In fact, an incredible 95% of all federal revenue used to come from import tariffs. The Tariff Act of 1789 was one of the newly formed American Congress's first acts, and tariffs comprised the plurality of federal revenue until the introduction of the income tax in 1914. Tariffs have historically been used by the government in order to generate revenue and protect American business. It wasn't until the 20th century that we decided to begin taxing our own income instead of taxing the importation of foreign products. Let's take a look now at some of the criticisms of tariffs. On Ben Shapiro's show on Friday, he flew off the handle and yelled about how dumb and stupid and not good Trump and dumb and stupid he thought Trump was for proposing these new tariffs. This here's one of the tamer cuts from the Friday show. He was totally off the handle.
Hey, this is all stupid. It doesn't make any sense. It's economically illiterate. Hey, I was writing full pieces in March 2016 about why Trump's trade policy was idiotic. He and Bernie Sanders basically have the same trade policy. Note to everyone, if you have the same policy on anything as Bernie Sanders, you're stupid. Does anyone think that'd be good for the economy? No, because this is stupid. S-T-O-O-P-I-D. Stupid. Price of beer is going to go up, too. Every beer can in America is made with aluminum, which means that if you like your beer, you're not going to get to keep your beer. The price on it is going to go up, which is, I think, most Americans are not going to be super happy with that.
Oh, no. My beer. This is the end of civilization as we know it. Bugman uprising when? You know, for a guy who claims to value facts over feelings, Ben Shapiro isn't exactly the paragon of honesty here. Given the amount of aluminum in your average can, the price of a can of beer would increase approximately half of 1 cent. In other words, your 12-pack is going to cost approximately 6 cents more. I wonder why Shapiro would leave that fact out. We all know he is about the facts, after all. Another criticism of tariffs comes in a line you'll frequently hear from self-described conservatives. They will decry tariffs as social justice for corporations. Losing all your jobs to China. Need a safe space, stupid American. Tariffs are designed to protect American political and economic interests, of course. There's no doubt about that. And of course, tariffs wouldn't be necessary if American goods were cheaper than Chinese goods. So yes, this is government intervention. You can label it and dismiss it as social justice if you wish. But we need to ask ourselves, how much of our economy are we willing to jettison in the name of free trade and globalization and cheap products? The Chinese and others will always be able to manufacture goods for less than we will. Their workers are paid a fraction of what ours are and have a fraction of our quality of life. In a race to the bottom, which is what competition is, those willing to live with the worst conditions will always win. So the question isn't who can manufacture goods cheaper. We know the answer to that. It's the Chinese.
Now the battle is over.
All right. See you guys on the other side. Yeah, I hope you're getting it. See you on.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
We're back. Incendiary Radio. Ken, let's play a little bit more of this one, and then I'll comment. Clip 6. Okay, Ken's getting a little freeze. No big deal. So let's talk about it. Trump and the tariffs. You know, the founding fathers, the guys that designed our government, they were big on tariffs. If you look at the history of, go ahead.
How do we as a nation protect our economic and national security? Globalized trade has had the effect of bringing down the cost of goods, but that phenomenon has come with a cost. From 2000 to 2010, over 55,000 factories in the United States closed down, and along with them, 6 million manufacturing jobs were lost. That's right, 6 million manufacturing jobs. Some people point to our low unemployment as an explanation for why this really isn't such a big deal. However, keep in mind that we are also experiencing the lowest labor force participation rate since the 1980s. Fewer people now are working now than in the past, and much of that is due to the fact that the jobs they used to hold are simply no longer available, and that's due, to, in large part, to globalization. America is headed down the path of becoming a nation of consumers, dependent on the world to manufacture all of our goods for us. This carries with it a significant risk. A lack of domestic industry places a nation at risk of shortages or price gouging at the hands of their trading partners. If America's steel industry goes under, for example, we will be dependent on foreign manufacturers to import our steel. And that poses significant risks for American infrastructure, defense, and manufacturing. We can see this happening right now with oil imports coming from OPEC and Russia and Venezuela and these other trading partners. We are largely dependent on the exports of our trading partners to determine oil prices in the U.S. And if there's a shortage from OPEC or a shortage from Russia or a shortage from Venezuela, then we are left scrambling to fill the gap between the supply available and the demand for it, when ideally the situation would be we encourage domestic production of oil and natural gas, and as a result we would no longer be subject to price gouging or artificial shortages being established by OPEC or Russia. We would be able to manufacture oil and natural gas for ourselves. This would be the ideal situation.
In a recent column, Pat, Granite City, Illinois, which is right across the river, firing up one of the blast furnaces, and everybody's real, you know, happy about that. All these steel workers, man, that have been out of work, and U.S. Steel. You should drive through there if you ever get a chance. It's very eerie. It's almost like something out of a Gotham, Batman, RoboCop, weird dystopic novel, like this massive steel plant complex where you can drive kind of right through it on one of the kind of side highways. But, you know, the founding fathers were big on tariffs. That's what funded most of our government for the long beginning of the country, was charging tariffs on goods coming to the country from elsewhere, and that would fund the fair tariffs and excise taxes that would fund the cost of government. And then we went off into the Zio Federal Reserve system, where now they garnish our wages and all the rest of it. And so, you know, is what it is, but, you know, people are whining about all this. Let's, we got a couple of minutes left here. Christopher Green over at Alternative Media TV, basically he's on this Bitcoin kick. It's going to replace the U.S. dollar. It's going to be worth $100,000 by 2020. 31 earthquakes in the Bay Area in the last 24 hours. Okay, San Francisco. China's space lab, allegedly, looks like it might crash into somewhere in Michigan. Russia spy ship spotted off the coast of Georgia. You know, I'm sure you've seen all these various reports, and I'm just kind of going through this. President Xi, of course, Trump mentioned this. Xi Jinping of China, they're having basically the Politburo, whatever the equivalent of, to vote out him ever having to step down from office. So he's coming Mao Zedong 2.0, as we covered before. And Trump makes a joke about how, hey, that might work for us here in America, kind of like how Bush made that joke. Dictators are all right as long as I'm the dictator. And then so Trump makes a joke, and everybody's freaking that Trump's going to try to stay in office and blah, blah, blah. And we were all kind of freaking about Obama, this Maoist, Leninist Obama. We were kind of all, I was worried about him trying to stay in office. If you go back into my old broadcast, hell, when you got people like this, it is what it is. All the left was worried about Bush trying to stay in office past his two terms. All the right was worried about Obama staying in office past his two terms. And now, of course, the left again is worried about Trump trying to stay past his, well, possible two terms. Who knows what's going to happen in these midterms? Usually the opposition party gains seats. And so, see you guys on the other side of the break. Last half hour of the program coming up.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Get clip 19 ready. I'm sure you guys have seen this one. This was weird. Katy Perry, the nuns, one of the last nuns that was holding out over this convent area that Katy Perry wants, blah, blah, blah. She dies
keels over and dies right there in the courtroom. And so now over here at Pockets of the Future, one of the YouTubers I'll pop in and check on, he's got about three different videos on this. I'm going to play the short one, and it's worth looking into all this. And it ties in with the good old Jesuits in L.A., another power block. You know, you got your Jewish mob, of course, who very, very powerful. But then you got, you're always going to see these characters running around as well. Let's roll 19.
Okay, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Again, you can, I'll link this video, this well-done, well-documented video about these nuns who the Los Angeles Archdiocese that was or owed victims of priest sexual abuse $60 million. So this is a very deviant organization. And these Jesuit priests. There was a part that I left out about this documentary. There's two nuns, the one that recently had a heart attack in court, and this other more feisty nun. And both of these nuns were talking about towards the end of the documentary that they had $6 million in cash, in basic assets and donations and things, which the Vatican stole. So the Vatican stole this estate, which was worth $15 million, another $6 million. So they took $21 million from these nuns. And this feisty nun was like, yeah, they stole it, and they're now living in poverty. In the document in which the Vatican stole this property from these nuns, without really their knowledge, they said that they would take care of the nuns financially, and they would wait until all the nuns were deceased before taking control of the property. But they threw the nuns out, changed the locks on the doors. Nuns are not being taken care of. They stole all the nuns' assets and money. And the priests that were living on the premises are moving to Katy Perry's $4 million mansion that she purchased for them. And so this whole thing is just greasy. These are these Jesuit priests that had no claim or right to this property, and they sold it out from under these nuns. One of the nuns said, because in this original document that was the document that the archdiocese used to steal this from them, in the document it said that the archdiocese would claim the right of the property if they had to financially support the nuns. And the judge said, well, in the courtroom, the lawyer for the archdiocese said that the archdiocese was in fact supporting the nuns, had supported them, and the nuns had millions of dollars in donations and things. And there was an outcry in the courtroom because all the nuns knew this was bullshit. And so this is, you think about, well, an organization that is some sort of just a religion that is just a poor excuse for a pedophile ring, right, is, of course, they'll steal money from nuns. I mean, think about this. And the only other thing I would add to this is, this guy.
Now, let's talk about it. Okay, so the Jesuits get to move into a mansion. There's a YouTube channel called Stand with the Sisters, and then there's a documentary called Our Story. Okay, Katy Perry runs around with a lot of the women in the entertainment industry, Hillary Clinton, the political sector. Now, this could be some sort of a psyop to demonize the male priesthood. You know, Francis Bergoglio, aka the Pope, they're talking about letting priests marry. There's a lot going on here. But this could be the demonization of the male priesthood here. Now, look, I'm not saying that these Jesuit thugs out on the West Coast who run San Francisco and L.A. along with the Cosa Nostra in Hollywood and et cetera, et cetera. It's this power-sharing agreement. Everywhere you'll see these two factions. But I'm not saying that these guys aren't dirtbags. Probably are. Criminals, thieves, who knows what. These guys assassinate people and all the rest of it. But this is a very weird kind of like a psychological warfare thing. You could just feel it. Katy Perry, the Jesuits, nuns, you know, property, millions of dollars. The whole thing stinks.
Now, Yoichi Shimazu, who's one of, he writes for Rents, and he's a big Fukushima researcher. All roads lead to Rome, Jesuit role in the Russia dossier. And he's also written a bunch of interesting articles about the operation down here in Parkland, okay? And so Florida Valentine's Massacre saves Debbie Wasserman Schultz Dems from AWAN probe. And that ties into that whole Muslim Brotherhood Pakistan stuff. Florida school attack exposes pedophile Jewish vigilantes. Commando strike in Parkland is a polygon puzzle. And this gets into the multiple shooters angle. March for Our Lives is the spearhead for a CIA coup. All right. Weird things going here on afoot. Paul Craig Roberts on the 8th of March, a Stalinist purge in America. America's future turns on the answer to this question. Is it because the Trump regime is letting the prostitutes and the Democrats destroy their credibility, or is it because Trump is weak, confused, and doesn't know how to use the powers of his office to slay those who intend to slay him? This year could turn out to be a defining year for the United States. And we saw all this kind of predictive programming that 2018 was going to be this just year of like balls to the wall, kitchen sink thrown at the country, insanity. And we're seeing, look, it's March and it's like every week I can't even cover everything that happens. It is clear that the U.S. military security complex and the Democratic Party, aided by their media vassals, intend to purge Donald Trump from the presidency. One of the open conspirators declared the other day that we have to get rid of Trump now before he wins re-election in a landslide. It is a known fact that a Russiagate is a conspiracy of the military security complex, Obama regime, DNC, prostitute media to destroy President Trump. And McCain was in on it. He was the water boy for carrying the dossier and giving it to Comey, allegedly. However, the prostitutes never present this fact to the American public. Nevertheless, a majority of Americans do not believe the Democrats and the prostitutes that Trump conspired with Putin to steal the election. And it's a pretty good article. Let me see here. One question before us. Will Mueller and the Democrats succeed in purging Donald Trump as Joseph Stalin succeeded in purging Lenin's Bolsheviks, including Nikolai Bukharin, who Lenin called the golden boy of the revolution? Or will the Democratic Party and the prostitutes discredit themselves such that the country moves far to the right? Now, if you get into some of these researchers like Eric John Phelps and others that are real, like, they think that the Vatican and the Jesuits run the whole planet and Jewry is basically subservient to the Vatican and the Jesuits. They say that this move to the far right is synthetic. It's already actuaried out. They've designed it. And so there's this whole kind of paradigm here says basically the migrant assault, okay, into America, Australia, Canada, Western Europe, is basically a white racial militarization, almost like a boot camp, to synthetically turn everybody far right, Fourth Reich-ish, if you want to use that term. And so there's a whole swath of people that are saying that basically this is a completely synthetic, orchestrated manipulation to militarize Europeans and to become completely xenophobic and to lash out and to basically strike at the larger population in all of their countries. But then there's another paradigm out here that says no. This is the last basically pulling out all the stops at basically destroying white majorities in all these white majority countries and basically set these white majorities, turn them into white minorities and eventually genocide them from the earth.
And so you have these competing visions, and I play around and I look at both of them, and I'm constantly trying to gauge them. Where I'm at right now is I think that here's where I'm at right now with it. I think that factions of the Jesuits and some of the Roman Catholic militants are wedded right now to Jewry in a marriage of convenience to basically go after all the whites that are non-Catholic, and they're agreeing on this one. But at the same time, you're seeing these Catholic countries like Italy and Spain, they're under assault from this immigration onslaught as well. So the paradigm that they're somehow behind this kind of synthetic Nazification of the white race, do you think that they would let these hardcore Catholic strongholds be brought to the brink of collapse? France, Italy, Spain? I don't think so. I think the latter vision is more, I guess, accurate to me, that basically the white genocide crowd, the world Bolsheviks, I think the vision to me is more accurate, that basically the Kosher Nostra and all of their allies and all their proxy armies, whether it's the ANC types, the Latin, you know, liberation theology commies, I think this is the more accurate vision that I'm looking at right now. And so we can all argue about this till the cows come home. But it's a pretty good article by Paul Craig Roberts about the Stalinist purge. I want to get to this. Ken, get clip 10 ready. This is Enter the Stars, and this is about basically Google getting in bed with the Pentagon. Now, I've always known that Google is a part of the alphabet agencies anyway. Facebook is as well. But let's roll clip 10.
Enter the Stars. In complete and total control is the goal of Google. And they are now helping the military with artificial intelligence to go through all of the data collected by drones. We're here. Terminator is here. Rise of the Machines. And with an entire fleet of thousands and thousands of drones across the globe, and artificial intelligence being used to process data in real time with the help of Google, we now have total domination. Why, I tell you guys, the answer is not getting tough, picking up weapons when they come to your door to take your guns. This is an intellectual fight. This is about waking up people to these facts of where all this is headed. What they've done is they've created this boogeyman overseas, and we are building our own cage. According to this article, we are in an AI arms race. It's happening in industry, and the big five internet companies are pursuing this heavily. Many of you will have noted that Eric Schmidt, executive chairman of Alphabet Inc., is calling Google an AI company now, not a data company. It's official. And Google runs YouTube. They own them. And this is all about algorithms.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. And they don't. Now, I got Gordon Duff's article from March 3rd up. The killer AI is here. Welcome to Gulag, Google. Now, if you change the G and the L in Google, you have Gulag.
And then Duff's talking about this, basically talking about the Eric Schmidt stuff. And this is from March 3rd. I don't know if it can be turned around or not. It's hard to say. But now we got to get critical of Trump a bit. Let's go to clip 4, Ken. This is... I got clip 4 and 5. This is from Grindel 61. Trump and the Real ID. Okay. Now, if you get into where Real ID was being pushed in the 90s and then into the 2000s, there was a lot of Republicans. Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin was one of them, the big pusher of Real ID, and he was a Republican. Let's roll clip 4.
First of all, this is what was coming had we ended up with Hillary.
I have decided we really need camps for adults.
And so, in the last year of the campaign, I truly felt I was fighting for my life. It's been 16 months after the 2016 election, and I am pretty sure I wouldn't be here had Hillary won. And even if I was still alive, I definitely would not be talking to you on the internet, because all the censorship we have been experiencing was planned for a year ago when Hillary took power. They are only now implementing it because the plan is to get rid of Trump inside of the first 4 years, which is also why I think he has been compromised. He always talks about making deals, and I think he is willing to play ball on evil agendas in the name of keeping himself in office as well as doing some of the good that he has done.
To craft a modern feudal society, the globalists are implementing a standardized North American Union ID card to track, trace, and control their serfs as they travel throughout the three regions of the NAU.
The national ID card is here, and we are all expected to be in compliance by 2020 per the order of President Donald J. Trump. That is less than 2 years away. Very recently, I have been hearing a lot of talk locally about the Real ID, which I thought had been dead for the last 15 years. Last night, I got into an argument with someone on Facebook over this very issue. This is how it all started with this post that came across my newsfeed. Alert! California started issuing non-Real IDs and driver's licenses starting January 2, 2018. If you renew online or by mail, they will send you the default card with the AB60 verbiage on the back, making it so you cannot purchase firearms or ammunition. If you are renewing your ID or driver's license, you need to go in person to the DMV and you will need to bring the required paperwork. DMV has a checklist online as to what you will need to bring. And here's what it says. Renewing your driver's license, make sure you apply in person for the California Real ID driver's license or you can't buy firearms. And so this absolutely infuriated me. I know for a fact that for the last 8 years under Obama, people who refer to themselves as right-wingers would have never submitted themselves to the Real ID national ID card because they would have been suspicious of Obama's intentions. But now we are seeing the Trump sheeple in action. They are showing me that they are willing to take the mark and accept the beast system so long as President Trump is telling them. This is no different than the cult members we saw under Obama. So here's the conversation I had with someone who I believe is much younger than me and very ignorant of the issue. So this person, Pauline, says, why need a passport to travel within our borders? Why are we changing the way we have lived by the law to accommodate people who don't obey our laws? And this person, Davey, who I end up getting into it with, says, because states are issuing driver's license to illegal aliens and the federal wants to know if you are a legal resident of the U.S., you can thank states California, New York, and etc. for this BS. Now that's a lie, because the Real ID came out in 2005, long before states started giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens.
Go ahead and stop it there.
So I said,
and then can get clip five queued up. But this is part of the dialectic, you see. They knew that they could force normal Americans into the real ID system by these lawless libtard commies basically flouting the system by giving out who knows what to all these illegals, letting them vote, drive, and everything else. So then this pushes the dialectic in the other direction to say, look, we need some sort of national system because we got all these rogue states that won't behave. You see, this is how they corral us. Let's roll clip five.
So this is a video I uploaded in February of 2015, over 3 years ago. Real ID, TSA will force airline passengers to show national ID before flying in 2016. And as you could see, it only got four thumbs down at the time. Basically, everybody was in agreement with what I said in this video because back then I was saying President Obama instead of President Trump. And people were saying that I will not get a national ID card because of Obama. But some of those same people are now running in line to get the national ID card because of Trump. Then, a year later, I made this video, January of 2016. It only got two thumbs down. Government can't vet illegals and refugees, but can vet you through Real ID national ID card. And this upset people, because people realize the government at the time was saying that we can't vet some of these people, but they can vet you, the American citizen. Same exact response. I will not get the national ID card because of Obama. And in this video, I talked about Agenda 2030. And it says, by 2030, provide legal identity for all, including birth registration. So yes, it is true. President Trump is pushing a New World Order globalist agenda, and we must point it out, because if we don't point it out because we worship the man, then we will succumb to these agendas with zero pushback. And a couple other things I want to point out. For 240 years, we never needed a national ID card system in this nation, but now we need one. For 225 years, we never needed a Department of Homeland Security, but now we have one. For 200 years, we never needed an Environmental Protection Agency, a Department of Energy, and a Department of Education, but now we have those things.
You can stop it there, so you know where he's going with this. Look, you got to keep an eye on these Republicans because they have been civil liberties encroaching draconians because they get the right cover. You see, I always talk about the left cover for criminality and terror and all that, but there's a right cover for stealth kind of biometric, in the criminal justice stuff that you got to watch them for. Okay, and unfortunately, the left-wing media is so loony and gone that you really got to scrutinize it very, very hard these days because they've gone off the deep end with, just silliness. A couple other things I wanted to get to, and we're coming up on the end of the show, is Florida and Rhode Island, Gardasil HPV mandates. They're attempting these for kids to go into school. And so to get the Gardasil shot, Florida and Rhode Island, keep your eyes on that. Trump, oh, gosh, I wish we had enough more time. Disease X. Look at Disease X, this thing that they can't really classify or look, they can't put their finger on it, that's killing a bunch of people And a lot of these researchers are looking into it, cocktailed with this 5G being implemented by FEMA and others, this national 5G system to ward off the Chinese hackers, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't get